If you hear that song, it's time for our good friend, the Mogambo Guru. He is on the line with us right now, Richard Doughty, also a.k.a. the Mogambo Guru. You can read him every day out on thedailyreckoning.com. What a great publication. If you want to call in today and chat with the Mogambo and us, you can do that at 877-326-3255. Good to have you back here on the Wall Street Shuffle. Mogambo, how are you, buddy?
Fine, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, we have you every week, and we so look forward to this. And we actually have a cool topic kind of staked out today, and I'm looking for your feedback on this. And there is a move out there that I'm hearing, my friend, that states are considering issuing maybe some of their own currency and backing it with gold or silver. And apparently, that's allowed in our Constitution. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that the Constitution allows the states to only accept gold and silver as payment in debt.
Right.
So as to their ability to coin money, I'm not sure.
So what do you think the one thing I don't understand about the states saying we're happy to accept gold and silver as payment, I'm a little confused about that because it would seem to me like it's a no-risk proposition. That doesn't seem like they're being very heroic here.
You don't think so?
Yeah, I'm not seeing the
states are not being heroic. Let me write this down. That's the big problem here. Yeah.
I just don't see why it's a big deal. Who in their right mind would give up their gold or silver to pay a debt to a state?
Well, it's a good question, but if it was some kind of a note redeemable in gold, like the old U.S. Silver certificate and gold certificates used to be, and then they go through a period of time where they show that they're honorable and trustworthy, yeah, I guess more and more people could and would, but it would cause lots of problems. The farther away you get from the state, the more inconvertible the money tends to be. So you got to change your money if you go far enough away from the state that issues it.
Well, you know, and there's more and more talk of currencies being backed with gold and silver, and there's an intermediate step, and I'm surprised that we haven't done this by now. You remember back in the turn of the 19th and 20th century, there were things called gold clauses in contracts,
right?
And all that did was to make contracts payable in using gold as a benchmark. You didn't have to trade in gold. But it made it so that if you didn't want to exchange gold, then you had to exchange fiat currency that had the same value as the gold in the contract. Now, that seems to me to be something we could do tomorrow if we wanted to protect ourselves from inflation in contracts.
You know, there are people already doing that because the Supreme Court also voided that thing out a few years ago. So, yes, gold clauses are showing up again.
And you're saying the Supreme Court did void that out a few years ago?
Yeah, you can now have gold clauses in your contract if you want.
Yeah, and I have not seen that done yet, but it seems to me to be very logical. Why not do it?
Well, if I was going to do it, I sure wouldn't want to publicize that I was going to do it. No, nobody wants to be caught with holding the hot potato. Everybody knows about fiat currency. These guys aren't stupid. So having a contract with a gold clause in it, and it gives that... Give somebody some pause here. Hey, you're on the hook here for some unlimited liability here.
Yeah, that is pretty funny. And you think about the consequences of that. If you weren't, let's say, a forward thinker like you are, my friend, that you might say, well, gee whiz, gold, paper, it doesn't really matter. What's the difference? Well, all of a sudden, if the U.S. wakes up tomorrow morning and says we're going to devalue the currency by 50%, you've just picked up another 100% increase in how much you owe in your contracts.
There you go.
One minor little problem.
Yeah, so you got to actually hedge yourself and do all kinds of risk-taking, covering things, which drives up your costs, which basically gets worked into the price, and so it's an inflationary thing when you have to do that. So I can see the argument against having those kind of clauses and just going easy with just dollars.
Do you saw that the Federal Reserve was forced to disclose some of their information. I've told Danny before, it'll be a cold day in hell when the Federal Reserve discloses all the information, no matter whether the Supreme Court told them to or not. But they are forced to disclose some of the information to the about the banks that they provided funding to over the last 2.5 or 3 years. Do you think that's going to have any effect on the market when they start to release this information? Do you think it'll have any effect on precious metals?
I doubt it. Don't think it would have any effect at all. As if suddenly the Federal Reserve is not letting banks be too big to fail.
Yeah.
Once they guarantee that the banks, there's no problem with anything. Hey, don't worry about it. Federal Reserve is going to cover us, buddy.
And I have no idea how in the world the Federal Reserve and the Treasury can sit there and say to us now that we are in less risk than we were 2 years ago. There were more banks. The banks that were out there were smaller as opposed to these larger banks right now. I don't see where we've dispersed the risk one little bit.
Well, you know, there really wasn't really much risk there to start with, Dan. I mean, all it takes is more money. The Federal Reserve can create all the money they need to save any bank that they want worldwide at the push of a button. So how much risk is there to start with? The only risk is that the economy falls apart and inflation roars and people start rioting in the streets. But as far as the risk in banks, there's no risk in banks.
You know, I see the riots in the Middle East. I see them in Europe. I saw them in England over the weekend. You saw the 500,000 people rioting in London this weekend?
No, I didn't see that. No.
Yeah, there were 500,000 folks rioting in London, mostly driven by the unions, and they were complaining about the British government and the austerity measures. And they were in the streets breaking windows and doing what rioters do. And all my friends that think I'm anti-union, I'm anti-union leadership. I'm not anti-union. And what it was is union leadership, which has nothing to do with the unions themselves, driving this little fracas and basically saying, and it's coming to a U.S. city near and dear to you this summer. So it looks like some of the protests coming from Europe are headed our way quickly.
And what did you think was going to happen, Dan?
I thought exactly that, but I'm trying to make it an interesting story instead of telling everybody I told you so, and here come the riots.
Yeah, I mean, what are the unions going to do other than that? I mean, you're asking the union members to take a big cut in salary and benefits. What do you think the union is going to do?
Oh, I know.
You bet they're going to fight this thing to show that they're earning their money.
Well, we'll see what happens. I think that I've been telling all my friends that there are certain times that there are certain things that you want to look for. And I always said that I would pick up the phone, I would call them if I thought there were a number of things that were getting ready to intersect. And I think they're getting ready to intersect in the next couple months.
Like what?
Well, let's see. We can start with the rioting in the streets. Hold on a second.
The rioting in the streets? What second? I'm trying to think. You've got...
Sorry, I had a little cough there, that's all. Well, yeah, I just had to clear that up. Danny was immensely helpful. Thank you for covering there for me. No, I think that you're seeing more and more demonstrations, union-led demonstrations in the U.S. You are, if you're paying any attention to any of the media that's out there right now, there are tapes of union leaders talking about creating a strike against J.P. Morgan Chase starting in May, and the strike would be don't pay your mortgages, and people that are perfectly capable of paying their mortgages. So you're talking about a coordinated effort to try to bring the banks down using unions to do that. And I think that is, and I wouldn't have believed it myself if I hadn't seen the tape and if I hadn't heard the audio from it. So when I see those kind of things, when people aren't afraid to show who they are, when they're not. It's a little bit like a kidnapping situation, you know, and you look at your kidnappers and they've got masks on, you don't worry. But the minute they take their masks off, you're terrified because you know what that means. Well, that's what it looks like right now to me. It appears that everybody who does not have the U.S.'s best interest in heart is perfectly willing to take off their masks right now and let you see who they are. And that's not a good thing.
That's an interesting metaphor there, Dan. Sense a little pessimism in your voice today, too, particularly as evidenced by that metaphor. A kidnapping victim watches them take off their masks, knowing they got to get rid of the witnesses here. Hey, hold on.
Well, I wrote an article last night, and I used the same metaphor, and I thought it actually, as I was writing it, it ended up writing itself.
Uh-huh.
We talk about the Federal Reserve withdrawing stimulus. Well, they can't withdraw the stimulus because every economy that uses leverage has to continue to use more and more leverage just to maintain their position. And if they want to have the appearance of growth, then they've really got to feed the beast. So if you've paid ransom and you've paid bounty and you've paid hush money and you've done all these things, as the Federal Reserve has done, how are you going to stop it now that people know that you're willing and able to do it at a push of a button? How could you possibly stop it if you wanted to? And I kind of likened it to kidnapping and ransom.
Oh, I agree with you perfectly. I have always argued the chance when you could stop doing this was probably at least 30, 40 years ago.
Yep.
We have long been we've been doomed for decades. It's just now coming to a head, like a great big giant pimple. It's finally coming to a head. Get ready to blow, Dan.
Well, I know Danny always thinks of us as being curmudgeons when we talk like this. You know, it's not the end of the world, but it certainly does change the way you invest. And Danny, wouldn't you agree with that?
I mean, absolutely, definitely. You should have more commodities than ever, and you should have more precious metals.
It's going to be the end of the world for a lot of people, though. The people that don't get that message. The people who do, yes, they're going to make out very well. You and I, Dan, and other people who buy gold and silver and oil at this point. But a lot of people still hold on to dollars, and they're holding on to common equities, and for God's sake, they're holding on to government bonds.
Yeah,
what a big mistake.
Yeah, the people that are holding on to fixed income and U.S. dollar-denominated bonds, especially treasuries, and having a huge amount, say 70%, because they're retired or approaching retirement, those are the people I'm worried the most about. And people on fixed pensions, you know, that are already retired. They're going to have to change their way of thinking, or they're going to, you know, get hit by this tsunami that's coming.
Oh, I don't care what they think about it, how they change it. They're going to get hit by this tsunami that's coming. There's no way to get out from under this thing.
Well, so let's take a look into our crystal balls, boys. I'm just curious what you guys think. Am I the only one in this room right now that is concerned about this happening sooner rather than later? Danny, let me start with you. I say it's within 90 days that this process starts in earnest with people in being unhappy in the streets in America.
Wow. I don't know if I'd make it that short, but I do. Yeah, it's possible.
It's possible. Nobody has a crystal ball. I mean, nobody knows for sure. Magambo, you tend to be even more cynical than I at times, but I sense that you're not ready to call that 90-day window on it. You're thinking it probably could be longer than that, I take it.
One day it will be 90 days away. So is it this time? I have no idea. The resilience of the human spirit, the desperation of the government. Don't underestimate these guys, Dan. They're going to do something.
Yes.
They're going to do something huge, and it's going to basically infect a lot of stuff. And whether it's going to have a temporary effect, I don't know. But it certainly won't have a long-term effect.
Well, you know, I think about things like that, Magambo, because it's part of the reason we do this show is to be evocative and provocative, but to get people to think that the status quo died a long time ago, that we're moving faster and faster and faster, and getting ahead of the power curve is pretty darn tough with the team we have right now. if not impossible. So let me ask you this. If you were running the Fed right now, or the head of the Treasury, or the president, and you want to keep this game going, what would you do right this very minute to keep this game going? I mean, short of just printing, is there anything else you would do right now?
You say I have fiscal power, too?
Yes, you have both fiscal and monetary.
Okay. Hey, this is the easiest thing I ever heard in my life. I'll tell you what. As the President of the United States, I'll give any employer a 100% tax credit for anybody they hire, for all their costs.
Okay.
What do you think that'll do? I can hire this guy. I get all my money back as a tax credit, not a tax deduction, but an actual tax credit. Dollar for dollar, I get it refunded, and I still have the guy doing all the work for free. What do you think that's going to do to employment? Well, how about this? Half the money you spend on your buying your house, I give you back as a tax credit, too.
Well, you know, here's the sad part.
What do you think that'll do to the price of houses?
Hey, brother, what you just said is actually on the table. Sheila Bair was talking about it from the FDIC today. They're talking about Americans. I want Danny and Shane to hear this. Americans being able to turn their houses back into the government and getting a check from the government for their house.
Yeah.
For the equity, the perceived value of the equity in their house. Yeah. So the federal government is actually going to inventory houses.
Who's perceived value?
It doesn't matter about the details.
Yeah, I've got a bit perceived, right.
Oh, man, they're just going to get money. It's pounded into this economy. So you say in 90 days? Man, they can do all kinds of things like that in 90 days. Did you ever imagine there would come a time where you're watching the Federal Reserve actually monetize government debt? I mean, it's the biggest monetary sin in all the textbooks. It's never happened before, and here the guy is doing it.
Yep. Yep.
And so I'd say, what's going to happen next? Well, I don't know what these guys are going to do next. I always underestimate. They're going to come up with something slimy and corrupt.
You know,
don't
I think
you worry.
We ought to give out some tickets to a game. I'll tell you what. I want to do this while we got we're running a little short on time. But for anybody who's got an idea, if you were president or you were the head of the Federal Reserve and the Treasury, and you had the chance to do things to keep this economy, the perception of this comeback coming in the economy, what would you do as these things start to wear off and become ineffective, as unemployment starts to go back up, as inflation starts to roll? Exactly what would you do? We'll find you tickets to an indoor football game. We'll find you tickets to a basketball. We'll find you tickets to something. I'm curious what you guys think. 877-326-3255. Magambo, as always, my friend, it is great to have you on. They can find you out there almost every day on The Daily Reckoning, a great Agora publication. And Magambo Guru, my friend and my mentor. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you for having me. It's always wonderful being here.
Take care, buddy.
Bye-bye.
We're going to be right back with our good friends from Dillon Gage. Phil Storer is going to be with us, and we're going to be talking about hot commodities and some opinions about the market. We'll be right back.